just in this upcoming year, this election year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're a poet. I know you're a music lover, too. What is there that artists can do? And what are some of the things you've done or have been doing? I mean, besides the newsletter, you know, Unity and Struggle, I mean, what have been your experiences of activism in and around New York City, New Brunswick, Newark?
Well, what I think that artists can do, I mean, you know, I already said the overall theme has to be the struggle for people's democracy. The whole political culture of the United States has to be reformed.
Okay.
That's the number one. And that's what we have to start pushing for. We have to make people know that. We have to people know that they don't vote for the president, that the Electoral College means you don't even vote for the president.
Yeah.
So empower the popular vote.
We have to push the idea of popular. We have to tell Americans, you don't vote for the president. Bush lost the election by 600,000 popular votes. You understand?
The Electoral College put him into office.
That's got to be trashed. Yeah. And see, what's important about that is that people don't know. It wasn't just against black people. The founding fathers, as Condoleezza Rice, the founding fathers told us what to do.
Yeah.
So the founding fathers are the ones who thought up the Electoral College. Why? To restrict the hegemony of the masses of Americans, of white Americans, because there was no idea then about the slaves voting.
Right.
You understand? But at the same time, there is no such thing as free public education until the end of the Civil War. See, we have to see how we're connected up, even though people put us in contradiction. There is no free public education, even for white people, until the end of the Civil War. When the slaves, having gotten that situation, and this is what we hope about reparations, white folks are not going to let you get that by yourself. That's beautiful. Because that means then your knocking at the door and kicking at the door is going to result in the whole people getting it. And that's what people got to understand. The most visionary of black policy or black political activists know there's none of that shit you're going to get by yourself.
Yeah.
You're not going to get reparations, just black people. We got to get reparations. No, you're not going to do that. It's going to be a mass movement. Why? Because the whole of the people want that.
Right.
All of those Amos, not only those Amos and Andes, but those Little Abners and Daisy Mays down there in the Black Belt.
Yeah.
Those hillbillies. See, they got to have reparations too. All those Native Americans, they got to have reparations too, you see. But the Bloods, the black folks are the ones say, reparations, reparations, reparations. But what it will mean ultimately is that the whole sector of the population that must have reparations will get it, you know. It's the same thing about this reform of the political culture. We must do that. Electoral college out. Winner-take-all system out, where you get 600,000 electoral votes, you get 600,000 popular votes, and you get 600,001 popular vote. You take all the electoral votes. Winner-take-all. No. Private monies in the election. No. No private monies. Public monies, everybody gets the same advertising, you know, the same debates. No private money. Because you got private monies, you got private control. You know, whoever gives the most money has the most control.
Right. You have to take care of that, of where that money came from.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. And that's what we need to be dealing with. We're talking about revolution, and we have these, you know, these kind of bizarre, you know, idealistic notions about revolution. This is the United States. This is not 19th century Russia or early 20th century China. This is the United States, where the slaves drive Cadillacs. You understand? And so you have to start at a different level of agitation and a different focus and motion. We say what? What's the overall campaign theme? Well, the overall campaign theme is fight for people's democracy. Now the deputy mayor of Newark has organized this with some other hip-hop activists to put together a political convention, in some ways like the convention we put together in 1972, the Gary Convention, where you had you know, 8,000 black people in Gary, Indiana. We organized the National Black Assembly based on taking the proportion of black people in each state. Therefore, that would be, you know, in relationship to the whole state. Mm-hmm. That's how many representatives there would be in the National Black Assembly. What happened to the National Black Assembly is once we had actually gained this response and organization of the black community, we naively allowed that power to flow into the hands of the electoral politicians. Mm-hmm. And so that the black movement, qua 72 on, became more and more, let's say 74, 76 on,
yeah,
became more and more lodged with the newly formed, you know, black caucus. There was no black congressional caucus before the Gary Convention, you see. So the point is, the positive parallels, we hope, will be that we can understand that the Afro-American people cannot make any progress without a stable national political entity to deal with the issues that they want to deal with, you know, nationally, to run candidates, support candidates, defeat candidates,
right,
you know, and to constantly lobby for an increased kind of presence in the national government. So that we want to set up a stable political, a national political entity, not because we think we're separate, but because we know we're not.
Right.
You must have an entity to deal with the politics of that whole people.
Right.
And hopefully that's what's going to be going on in Newark, that they're going to be discussing that. Because that's an old, you know, like, who was that quoted that? That was that Fred Douglas quoting the Irish commentator saying, you can tell Irish history like a dying man crawling through a crowd. Mm-hmm. Or a wounded man crawling through a crowd. All you have to do is follow the trail of blood.
Right.
You know? So, this whole question of convention, you're talking about the 19th century convention movement, where they had black conventions in places like Rochester, New York, Buffalo, New York, Cleveland, you know, outside of the slavery thing. Or you're talking about the convention movement as it came down into the 40s, the National Negro Congress, which the CP had a great deal to do with. Or you're talking about the Gary Convention. There's this consistent struggle to put together a national political entity.
And is that the most heat is coming from those four lines, or is it the poem in general?
Well, no, it's the four lines. But that's something that somebody can seize on, because there's obviously nothing in those four lines. Because the first thing the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, or I should say the Anti-Anti-Defamation League, first thing they do is they say, he said the Jews were warned. And they never said anything about Jews.
Right.
Yeah.
See? Now, if you're going to collapse Israeli into Jew, it'd be like saying, you know, the Nigerians did something. They're not supposed to say, but I ain't a Nigerian. I'm an American.
Right.
Yeah.
You see, Israeli don't have nothing to do with Jew, but they wanted to have something to do with Jew. Somebody could jump on you. The point is that Israel is an imperialist power, just like the U.S. is an imperialist power. If I cannot say that, you understand? If I have to deny that what's going on in Palestine is ethnic cleansing, if I have to deny that Sharon, who was overthrown by the Israelis themselves, what's that, 1992 in Lebanon, when he orchestrated the slaying of all those immigrants and the PLO people, well, first you want to know, how did he get back in power? The Israelis took him out. How did he get back in power? Who put him in back
right?
in power?
Yeah. He's got to have some support from somewhere. Yeah.
Excuse me?
He's got to have some support from somewhere. Is the connected to something.
Then not only how did he get back in power, which is an important idea, how did he get back in power? But he was supposed to be in New York, 9-1-1. That's Israel Day.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever did that planned it to be Israel Day. But they couldn't do it to Sharon because Shabak, Israeli Secret Service, said, no, he ain't coming.
Mm-hmm.
So is that just, what, strawberry shortcake vision? I mean, it has nothing to do with anything. It just turned out that, no, I don't think he should go today. What are you telling me?
Right.
That it had nothing to do with the events? You know? No, that's you could go to the Israeli Secret Service, Shabak, about that. But nobody wants to talk about that. They don't want to jump on me as an anti-Semite.
Right.
That's bullshit. Or let's say, in radio terms, that's grossly inaccurate.
So, would you say it's just like something people can be distracted by without trying to do like serious investigation?
That's
an
what
easy
it is.
Distraction.
Most people have never read that poem.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah, not only
they
that.
Don't, yeah, they don't
but
have
50
to.
50 years from now, I will still be called an anti-Semite.
Right,
right. And you're protested at schools.
Excuse me.
Right, when you get off the airplane, people protest. You.
Oh well, I go to different schools and there are little groups there.
Uh-huh.
But I'll tell you, the cowardliness is what is disturbing. I went to Stanford University. The black students brought me to Stanford University. There's a group of Jewish students, I guess, influenced by the Zionist bullshit, sitting in front of the stage. I begged them, whatever you want to ask me, please ask me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Whatever you want to accuse me of, let me answer you one-on-one. Not a mumbling word.
Yeah.
I get back home, the black students send me a newsletter that these group of Jewish students have put out saying, the poet should die a violent death.
Jeez.
Now, if I got to die a violent death, why can't you argue with me? You know, I mean, you know, that's my last request before I go over. Argue with me before you kill me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But why can you be that completely passive on one hand? Well, maybe it's not passivity. Maybe it's something else. Maybe I've just, you know, misinterpreted it. But for the object of your attack to be standing, you know, a few feet in front of you saying, what do you want to say to me? What questions do you want to ask? Tell me why I'm an anti-Semite. Explain it. And for you not to say nothing, but the minute I get off the campus, you to publish something, say, the poet needs to die a violent death.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder. You know, just who that is. I mean, people have called my house breathing heavy. You know.
Well, since we've come to this, like, junction of the poet politics or art and politics, I mean, what are you working on currently? I mean, out of Newark, I know you have a newsletter.
Yeah.
Is it Unity and Struggle?
Unity and Struggle. Well, that's one thing. We're trying to make Unity and Struggle, it's a monthly, but we're trying to make it national.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there are 27 cities where black people are a majority or plurality. You know, New York and Newark and Philly and
uh-huh.
Baltimore and D.C. and
yes.
Richmond and Atlanta and New Orleans. We want to make that newspaper hit those 27 cities minimally every month.
So you want to expand outside of Newark and New Brunswick and the whole local...
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where our collective operates out of, Newark and New Brunswick and New York.
And New York. Okay.
But we want the newspaper to touch at least those 27 cities and to get bases. You know, we want agents. People not only to sell the newspaper, but people who will come up with information. What's happening in Boulder that relates to the international situation, you know.
Right.
What kind of class struggle needs to be exposed in Boulder that then, you know, invokes or evokes the class struggle of the general? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things we want. What poets and writers are in Boulder? Of all these cities, can we get an article that will generate some kind of understanding in people from Colorado, from Oklahoma, from Mississippi.
Right.
Because there's no national newspaper except the New York Times and USA Today.
Right.
You know,
Well, the one thing I wanted to talk about was with Unity and Struggle was on the front of this issue, the June 4th issue, it says Beat Bush. And I was wondering if you could comment on that idea of Beat Bush, but not saying Vote Kerry. And the difference between that.
Right, I don't want to carry Kerry, I want to beat Bush. See, we cannot get everybody to agree to Kerry.
Right.
As the ignition of our motion.
Mm-hmm.
What we're trying to do is get a united front against Bush.
A united front, right.
So that no matter what you think about Kerry, I know, what can I say about Kerry? He should be running up Bush's chest right now.
Agreed.
From that prison thing, with the headline, until today, the headline in the New York Times, no relationship between Saddam Hussein and 911.
Uh-huh.
Kerry should be going crazy.
Yeah.
He should be right in Bush's chest. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? But he's not.
It's unacceptable that he's not. Like,
he's not.
Yeah.
So the point that we're making is we want to beat Bush. We want everybody to get together. We're going to have to take up the truncheon and the blackjack against Kerry.
Right. And beat Kerry.
Absolutely.
And that's something personally I've been thinking about is how do you maintain the momentum to keep an activist mentality with, I mean, Bush, it's so clear. It's undeniable with the antics that he's been
pulling. His neo-imperialism and or colonialism and just, you know, his policies that...
But Kerry being, like, so moderate, will there be a problem with, like, maintaining an activist mentality?
The Democrats and Republicans are parties come from the same class.
Right.
They have a contradiction because nothing that's not the same... If anything is not the same, it has contradictions.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, well, they're the same, like Nader with his dumbass self says they're the same. They are not the same. There is the contradiction between them themselves. What's the contradiction? Like rat poison and strychnine is a contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
You take rat poison, you're going to die immediately. That's Bush. You take strychnine, you got 24 hours. Maybe you can go around and find a cure. You know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe you can find the guy that gave it to you and kill him. But you cannot say they're the same. Otherwise, you're denying the specific aspects of reality.
Yeah.
They are not the same. You see, Bush is now in this maniacal framework of thinking that he controls the whole goddamn world or wants to.
KBFR.
KBFR? No.
Because we lost him.
Yeah. We'll pick that up again. Anyway, you were saying.
No, I was saying that Bush, you know, from the, you saw the thing about the, what was it called? The 1994, 1992 document that they produced, that Bush wanted them produced. What was it called? For a New America, you know, there was some illusion. Project for a New American Century, that thing.
The New American Century, right.
Well, they said in there what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
That they were the single superpower, and now they had to strike to control the whole world.
Right.
So people say that Iraq is about oil. Yeah, it's about oil, but that is only mid-desire.
Right.
Desire.
Yeah.
They have ideological motivations.
Like their desire is to control the world.
Do you want
to
grab this?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Sure, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care.
KBFR.
KBFR.
Hello, yeah. This is Radioactive Milo. What's up?
How you doing? Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, well, just to kind of add something to throw out there.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, you know, while, like, any establishment candidate is always going to be upper class, when you look at Bush's tax cuts... You know, they ridiculously favored the upper class. Like, we got rid of the fucking dividend tax to where now all people who own stock and are getting dividends on that no longer have to pay taxes on it. And then the estate tax they got rid of where you know, now if you inherit money from an older relative, you know, or whatever, if you're a trust fund baby, suddenly you don't have to pay taxes on that.
Right,
I mean,
right.
While Democrats, you know, are still controlled by a bunch of, you know, upper-class douchebags, Bush has just been rampant on favoring the upper class.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, first of all, I'm sorry, did you finish? I'm sorry.
Did you finish?
Yeah, I'm finished.
Okay.
Yeah. See, first of all...
Can I just listen to what you say on the radio? Because, like, my phone doesn't
work. Sure, no problem.
All right, cool.
I'll let you go, and then he'll just comment. Thank you.
First of all, the whole idea of us allowing private monies in elections is bizarre. If you allow private monies in elections, then private money control your politics. There is no such thing as democracy as long as private monies are allowed in the election. So that must be cut out completely. Everybody has to have the same public money, the same advertising, the same debates, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
But then if you go back to the question about who is Bush, read the book called The House of Bush and the House of Saad. Between the 70s, when Bush and company first hooked up with the Saudis, including the Bin Laden family,
yes.
That's a very important book, that Unger book, they have made between them, the Bush family, the Saudis, and the Bin Laden family, $80 billion. Now, the only thing Bush is doing is true to his own class origins. He's not doing anything bizarre. See, what he's doing is what they do. They had this kind of chant against big government, against big government. Until they got in, then they established the biggest government ever. You know, the minute they got off there against big government, and against big government was nothing but the coming together of the right and left wing anarchy. You know, because that's what they want. They want a right-wing anarchy where the corporation can suck everybody's titty. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Can drain the whole world dry. Can eat everything, suck everything, swallow everything, and control everything. Yeah, that's what they want.
I mean, and I think that's what that tax cut is demonstrating. We're in the largest deficit in the history of the country, and he's cutting taxes, forcing privatization of...
That's nothing but embezzlement.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole tax cut thing is nothing but... looting the public coffers.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
And then who's going to pick it up? You're going to have pharmaceutical companies and, you know, big industry that's going to have to pick up the slack of where the government was providing services like Medicaid and...
But why do we have a government if we don't have a contract with them?
Right.
No, let's go back to the contract.
Okay.
We have a contract with the government. The government is not supposed to exist so we can debate about whether it exists or not. It's supposed to exist in relationship to developing... society. That's what it is. It's supposed to be a contract between ourselves. The government and us would be a thing hovering outside ourselves.
A separate entity.
In MGM.
Right.
We are supposed to be of, by, and for the people. The government is supposed to be us.
Right.
When you say no big government, what are you saying? You're saying no money for social welfare, no money for the development of education.
Right.
No, but the largest, what do you call that? Dole, the largest subsidy from the government now is who? McDonald's. If you go to the, you know, study that. I wish somebody get on the net, study the biggest subsidy the government gives out. It goes to McDonald's.
Yeah.
To make American business familiar throughout the world.
Right.
Well, that's a really great thing. Why don't we make our beautiful lives familiar throughout the world, you know? No, so the question of Bush... in the tax cuts, that Bush is doing what he's supposed to do, steal. You know, look at Bush and the savings and loans.
Uh-huh.
What did he do? That collapsed. The people lost their money. But what happened as a result of that? Did he go to jail?
No.
No. He was slapped on the wrist, and he ended up, voila, the governor of Texas.
Yeah.
He's already killed more people in Texas than the rest of the United States combined. We're talking about executions.
Right.
What do we do? He's the president. But Bush is less legitimate a president as than Hitler was chancellor of Weimar Germany.
Yeah, you were saying the Weimar Republic, the last democratic government.
The last democratic. Hindenburg selected Hitler to be his chancellor. Hitler had his army running around, you know, like all of those things that they did. They were fighting in the street, you know. But when the communists and the social democrats split open, one being too hip, you know, one was too hip for the other, you too corny, you too hip, blah, blah, blah. The Nazis, because the communists and the social democrats had more votes than the Nazis.
Uh-huh.
The Nazis could have been kept out.
Right.
Weimar is a very important reading about Weimar. Very important reading. There's a book called Brecht's Berlin, which is very good.
This is
good.
Bertolt Brecht you're referring to in
there's
the
a
title?
Book from, okay. There's a book from University of California called The Weimar something, but it's a huge book. To give us the different speeches of people, like the speeches of Hitler, the speeches of Goebbels, the speeches of people like Liebknecht, the head of the German Communist Party at the time, and you can see, you know, where it's going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then the left getting too far. I mean, the communists getting so super left, they can't make a united front with the social democrats. The Social Democrats then starting to get attached to the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very interesting. So what happens the minute they get in? The minute Hitler gets in, what's happened? The Reichstag fire. They set fire. It's like setting fire to the Capitol. Mm-hmm. So what happens? Bush is in immediately after that bullshit. They let him in. What happens? 9/11.
Right.
Now tell me. And especially after reading this thing here, where they propose that what we need is a new Pearl Harbor.
Right.
That is this project for a new American century. What do they propose? A new Pearl Harbor. Why do we need a new Pearl Harbor? So that we can then go bomb Afghanistan,
get a
aid
license.
In the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians,
uh-huh.
Attack Iraq, set out an axis of evil. While the assholes of evil are in Washington,
yeah.
But the axis of evil is who? Iran, right?
Mm-hmm.
North Korea, you know. Don't say China, please. Don't say China. You know. But that's what it is.
Why not China?
The Chinese have 1 billion people. We have 300 million. We could kill 3 for every one of us. Okay. And they would still have...
yeah.
Million people. No. Aside from the fact you dropped a bomb in a Chinese embassy, give me a break.
Right.
You know,
and also,
you're flying spy planes over China. You know.
Yeah.
And that's corporately. I mean, more U.S. corporations are leaving for China than anywhere else in the world right now.
They can't get out of that. That's really the big hypodermic needle.
Yeah.
They stuck China in their arm. They can't get out of there.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, China's economy, which is the fastest growing in the world, in a couple of years, China and the United States will be fighting. Japan is now, you know, number one trading partner for all the people in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
But in a minute, it will be China.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's nothing you could do with 1 billion people but make friends with them.
Yeah.
You know. So then the guy said, remember how Bush was those first days of his presidency? Give me back that plane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what did the Chinese say? Okay, you'll get it back.
Uh-huh. After we take it apart. Yeah.
But it'll be in a box. You know what I'm saying? So he's learned, I think, a little bit about the world. You know, what did the Koreans tell him? The Koreans said, yeah, we got atomic weapon, and it's pointed right at your... ass.
Yeah.
Pointed at Hollywood, as a matter of fact. So, that question remains. What does Bush want to do? Well, they want to control the world. They cannot. They cannot even control the Europeans. I mean, despite the fact that now we have to say freedom fries and we can't say French fries.
Right.
Now that we know there's an old Europe.
Yeah.
I mean, what a hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
and for you to tell us Europe has no value, then 2 minutes later you're back begging the Europeans to come help you.
Right.
You know, I mean, that, I think you're dealing with, you know, like a collection of superpower people who are in a frenzy of superpower, you know, realization.
So I was reading The Nation the other day. Nader has, like, I think 7% approval as of, like, a month ago in the last poll, which is... I think he got like two in the last.
You're talking about Nader.
Nader, yeah. So, I mean, that's a pretty significant number, and it would get him.
I know it's significant enough to give the thing again to Bush. I mean, I the idea of an ego as the Joan of Arc of liberalism is not appealing to me. You could do what Sharpton did or Jesse did or any number of people did, run in the primary to try to bring the vote to the left. But for you to put your ass out in that, which the presumption, if you read Lenin, Volume 19, The Trouble with Electoral Politics, where he says that the petty bourgeoisie wants to share the power with the bourgeoisie. Mm-hmm. They don't want to overthrow them. They want to share the power. I mean, Nader is a seatbelt.
Well, how so? Yeah.
He's not releasing the power of the people. The people cannot be in any kind of little circumscribed activity called radical. The people have to be in the main arena with the assholes, with the Democrats and Republicans,
right,
contending with them. Do we believe that Nader is going to win the presidency? Does anybody believe that? No. So then what is that? Is that a gesture to say, look, I don't agree with you guys? That's great. Middle-class white kid, you want to do that? Meanwhile, we're going to die. You see? We're going to die. Your gesture, look, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. Hey, I don't agree with it neither. Why would I take care? Fuck Kerry. I don't want Kerry. I say beat Bush. You see what I'm saying? I'm not focusing. If you think I want to go, I'm going to vote for Nader. No, it's not about that. It's about beat Bush. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah.
It's not about Kerry. It's about beat Bush. That's all. The rest of that stuff, that ego stuff, or that Democratic Party, and the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are about as separated as what? A rat's ass. It's about that wide. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's about that wide. What's the difference? They have different constituencies. When Bush pulled that stuff before, what did Gore do? Gore pulled Jesse Jackson off the street. Rather than jumping up and down and screaming and running down there and saying,
I'm wondering, it seems like a contradiction in
what's that?
That the Tibetan people are being oppressed by the Chinese.
Well, the only thing I would ask about that is, do you want to be, some kind of theocracy? I mean, the people that run around talking about Tibet would never for 1 second submit to being dictated to by a Tibetan theocracy. By monks. I mean, it's bad enough to be dictated to be by Bush with the bullshit of the actual Constitution, but to have it be metaphysical, you know, that's completely out to lunch. But yet Americans are able...
Well, it seems that that's the party line from the Red Chinese, is that it was a theocracy that was...
Well, that's what it is. That's what it is. I mean, it doesn't make any difference what we think about it. All I would ask of people, would you submit to that? You know, would you submit to that? But then Americans are willing, unfortunately, some to submit to this.
Mm-hmm.
That theocracy is a lower level of it. You know, you go check it out, the Tibetans. You know, I remember the first year Naropa opened,
mm-hmm.
we were... Robert Duncan, poet, and I were, you know, having fun at somebody's expense. But anyway, we asked this Tibetan Buddhist, you know, why does that music sound like that? Why do you only have two notes to your music? You know, what is that a sign of repression? You know, if you have a music that only goes, ooh. But it was funny. But the question is, to take that into political terms, I wouldn't, I mean, if you tell me that the Dalai Lama has got a carte blanche supported by Bush and Company, I don't feel daunted by the question. I know who they are. I know that they would rather accept metaphysical oppression than communism. I know that, you know. So it's just a question. If you see it as a contradiction, so be it. But I don't feel that. I feel the Dalai Lama is just another preacher in support.
But it seems, I'm only asking, because it seems that the Chinese are the ones that are killing and murdering.
Well, I mean,
for the idea of communism.
Unless we're over there with the actual, you know, I don't know how you know that.
Right.
That you're over there. I mean, there's all kind of stuff happening. You know, we just read in the front cover, you know, Iraq didn't have nothing to do with 9/11. Well, look, for the last 3 years, it did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, suddenly the two. So the only thing I can say about it is what I believe. I believe that the Chinese are justified in trying to break up that theocratical, control of Tibet. Okay. As far as you saying Tibetan self-determination, well, I mean, it's like saying New Jersey self-determination. You know, is that real? But the point is, I hope not so fixed in my beliefs I couldn't see, you know, another alteration of that. But I'm saying right now, to me, the idea of Tibet versus China, if I have to put the Dalai Lama versus Mao Zedong, that's not really even a question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not a question. I know if I read Mao's writings, including his writings, his which I have a tape of W.B. Du Bois and Mao, or Malcolm X, but Robert Williams and Mao, you know. See, I trust that. The Dalai Lama never said anything to me, but you understand? And that's just not something that I can use in my own struggle.
Okay.
You know, that's all. I'm not just condemning people who want to be religious because, you know, there's Negroes up and down the street who are in the Baptist church. You know what I mean? Me and my children play a game. I ask them, how many churches between here and the corner? And I say 10. They say 3, and I win because there's 8. So the point is, religion is a daunting subject, but we're not fighting religion. See, I'm not religious, but I'm not fighting God.
But, I mean, the question comes from the fact that school exists.
Oh, I know that. But I was always in contradiction with that from the beginning, so I don't even feel that.
But it's a bastion of like.
Well, I fought with them about that from the beginning. I fought about Tibetan Buddhism from the very first minute I said first.
But it's providing an opportunity for.
Hey, I'm not
to
opposed to that.
In
but I'm saying, like me and Duncan said to that guy, "Hey, why did the Tibetan music only have 3 notes?"
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't feel threatened by the fact that they're Buddhists. And they shouldn't feel threatened by the fact that I'm a communist.
Right.
See, that's the way I feel about that. Now, if you can't walk with that, that's difficult. You see, because my goal is not to overthrow Buddha. As a matter of fact, Buddha looked like he got dreadlocks to me. I'm not trying to overthrow Buddha. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to overthrow God. I want to get imperialism.
Right.
You understand? Yeah. You can be for any religion. There's Negroes more religious than anybody in the universe that I know.
Yeah.
You understand? And I can stand that.
My extra
I can stand right next to them and sing Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Yeah.
But to me, Jesus is just a blood that got tricked and killed trying to talk about revolution. You know what I mean? But I've written some pretty funny poems about religion. You know, I mean, if you read them, you know, we ain't gonna worship Jesus unless Jesus do something.
Right.
I mean, stuff like that. But at the same time, I hold out for the dignity of my position, just like I ain't gonna trample on you because you're a Buddhist.
Right.
You know, I thought I was a Buddhist in 1955. You know, you understand what I mean?
Well,
I mean,
your first marriage was in a Buddhist.
Excuse me?
Wasn't your first marriage in a Buddhist monastery?
Yeah, Buddhist temple. Absolutely.
Buddhist temple?
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I was studying Buddhism when I was in the army. They busted me for being a communist, and I thought I was a Buddhist. I mean, it's not. So I'm not. I don't have no hostility toward it. It's just that's not what I believe.
Right.
You know. And until we can get sophisticated enough to do that, you know, I mean, with the Baptists and the Buddhists and the vegetarian and the nationalists and the communists and the person who believes they are all of the above.
Yeah. Right.
Then we're not going to get nowhere.
Right.
Because it's about united front, you see. No right. single ideology that we have named is going to do anything with this.
Like you said, this is about subverting differences to come together just to beat Bush.
That's right. That's right.
Just in this election to we make that step.
We'll be doing our fighting ideologically, even in the midst of that. See, don't worry about that.
Yeah, as that'll still be going on.
As long as we don't lose sight on the goal.
Right.
See, no, we're going to be fighting about it. We're going to be arguing, and we're going to be making a little nasty remark. We do that.
It's like the Dirty Dozen.
We must do that.
What was that quote that you read the other night before you read the poem, Somebody Bombed America, that about...
Post-terrorism?
No, it was something I think Goebbels said about how to... The best way to trick... Or to mobilize a nation is to tell them they're under attack or something.
Do what?
Tell them they're under attack or something.
Oh, that's Goebbels. Yeah. No, that's Goebbels, but...
I was wondering if you could read that before you read this poem.
We're talking about the Reichstag.
Yeah.
Right. And that once Hitler got in, the Reichstag fire...
Uh-huh.
Happened, and based on that, then like 9/11, they set up what they call the Reichstag Enablement Act.
Uh-huh.
And the Reichstag Enablement Act is like, you know, Homeland Security.
Patriot Act,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Kill, burn, steal in the name of democracy.
Right.
That's what that is.
So,
would you
like to read the poem, or...
This one that's on the screen.
Sure.
Yeah, let's do it. So, well, we'll just pass it off to you, I guess.
You can give a preface
if you want.
Read this poem
that I've been attacked. If I can keep it going down the screen. Boom, dong, 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 dong. Dong, 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 dong. Somebody blew up America. Dun 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 dun. Somebody blew up America. All thinking people oppose terrorism, both domestic and international, but one should not be used to cover the other. Dong 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 dong. Somebody blew up America. They say it's some terrorist, some barbaric Arab in Afghanistan. It wasn't our American terrorists. It wasn't the Klan or the skinheads or the them that blows up nigger churches or reincarnates us on death row. It wasn't Trent Lott or David Duke or Giuliani or Shula. Helms retiring. It wasn't the gonorrhea in costume, the white sheet diseases that have murdered black people, terrorized reason, insanity, most of humanity as they pleases. They say, who say? Who do the saying? Who is them paying? Who tell the lies? Who in disguise? Who had the slaves? Who got the bucks out the bucks? Who got fat from plantations? Who genocided Indians? Tried to waste the black nation? Who live on Wall Street, the first plantation? Who cut your nuts off? Who rape your ma? Who lynch your pa? Who got the tar? Who got the feathers? Who had the match? Who set the fires? Who killed and hired? Who say they God and still be the devil? Who the biggest only? Who the most goodest? Who do Jesus resemble? Who created everything? Who the smartest? Who the greatest? Who the richest? Who say you ugly and they the good looking is? Who define art? Who defines science? Who made the bombs? Who made the guns? Who bought the slaves? Who sold them? Who call you them names? Who say Dahmer wasn't insane? Who? Who stole Puerto Rico? Who stole the Indies, the Philippines, Manhattan, Australia, and Hebrides? Who forced opium on the Chinese? Who owned them buildings? Who got the money? Who think you funny? Who lock you up? Who own the papers? Who own the slave ship? Who run the army? Who the fake president? Who the ruler? Who the banker? Who? Who owned the mine? Who twist your mind? Who got bread? Who? Who owned the mine? Who twist your mind? who got bread, who need peace, who you think need war, who own the oil, who do no toil, who own the soil, who is not a nigger, who is so great ain't nobody bigger, who own the city, who own the air, who own the water, who own your crib, who rob and steal and cheat and murder, make lies the truth, who call you uncouth, who live in the biggest house, who do the biggest crime, who go on vacation anytime, who kill the most niggers, who kill the most Jews, who kill the most Italians, who kill the most Irish, who kill the most Africans, who kill the most Japanese, who kill the most Latinos, who? Who own the ocean, who own the airplanes, who own the malls, who own television, who own radio, who own what ain't even known to be owned, who own the owners that ain't the real owners, who own the suburbs, who suck the cities, who make the laws, who made Bush president, who believed the Confederate flag needed to be flying, who talk about democracy and be lying, oh, ho, ho, ho. Who the beasts in Revelations, who 666, who decide Jesus get crucified, who the devil on the real side, who got rich from Armenian genocide, who the biggest terrorist, who changed the Bible, who killed the most people, who the biggest terrorist, who changed the Bible, who killed the most people, who do the most evil, who don't worry about survival, who have the colonies, who stole the most land, who rule the world, who say they good but only do evil, who the biggest executioner, oh, ho, ho, who own the oil, who want more oil, who told you what you think that lady you find that is a lie, ho, ho, who found Bin Laden, maybe they Satan, who paid the CIA, who knew the bomb was going to blow, who know why the terrorists learned to fly in Florida and San Diego, who know why five Israelis was filming the explosion and cracking their sides as an ocean, who need fossil fuel when the sun ain't going nowhere, who made the credit cards, who get the biggest tax cut, who walked out of the conference against racism, who killed Malcolm, Kennedy, and Dr. King, who would want such a thing? Are they linked to the murder of Lincoln? Who invaded Grenada? Who made money from apartheid? Who keep the Irish a colony? Who overthrew Chile and Nicaragua later? Who killed David Sabeco, Chris Hani? The same ones who killed Biko, Cabral, Neruda, Allende, Che Guevara, Sandino? Who killed Kabila? The ones who wished Lumumba, Monlane, Betty Shabazz, Princess Di, Ralph Featherstone, Little Bobby? Who locked up Mandela, Daruba, Geronimo, Asada, Mumia, Garvey, Dashiell Hammett, Alfred Sutton? Who killed Huey Newton, Fred Hampton, Medgar Evers, Mikey Smith, Walter Rodney? Was it the ones who tried to poison Fidel? Who tried to keep the Vietnamese oppressed? Who put a price on Lenin's head? Who put the Jews in ovens and who helped them do it? Who set America first and okayed the yellow stars? Who? Who killed Rosa Luxemburg, Liebknecht? Who murdered the Rosenbergs and all the good people iced, tortured, assassinated, vanished? Who got rich from Algeria, Libya, Haiti, Iran, Iraq, Saudi, Kuwait, Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, Jordan, Palestine? Who cut off people's hands in the Congo? Who invented AIDS? Who put the germs in the Indians' blanket? Who thought up the Trail of Tears? Who blew up the Maine and started the Spanish-American War? Who got Sharon back in power? Who backed Batista, Hitler, Bilbo, Chiang Kai-shek? Who? Who decided affirmative action had to go? Reconstruction, the New Deal, the New Frontier, the Great Society. Who do Tom Ass Clarence work for? Who do come out the colon's mouth? Who know what kind of skeezer is a Condoleezza? Who pay Connolly to be a wooden Negro? Who give genius awards to Homo Locus subsidiary? Who overthrew Nkrumah, Bishop? Who poisoned Robeson? Who tried to put Du Bois in jail? Who framed Rapp, Brown, Jameel, Al-Amin? Who framed the Rosenbergs, Garvey, the Scottsboro Boys, the Hollywood Ten? Who set the Reichstag fire? Who knew the World Trade Center was going to get bombed? Who told 4,000 Israeli workers at the Twin Towers to stay home that day? Why did Sharon stay away? Who? Explosion of owl, the newspapers say the devil's face could be seen. Who? Who make money from war? Who make dough from fear and lies? Who want the world like it is? Who want the world to be ruled by imperialism and national oppression and terror and violence and hunger and poverty? Who is the ruler of hell? Who is the most powerful? Who you know ever seen God? But everybody seen the devil. Like an owl exploding in your life, in your brain, in yourself. Like an owl who know the devil all night, all day if you listen. Like an owl exploding in fire. Like an owl exploding if you, in your life, in your brain, in yourself. Like an owl who know the devil all night, all day if you listen. Like an owl exploding in fire. We hear the questions rise in terrible flame. Like the whistle of a crazy dog. Like the acid vomit of the fire of hell. Who and who and who and who, 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 who?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in. Thank you so much for supporting Free Radio. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
It's a real pleasure to have you.
It's been great. He's got to head out now.
I'm going to go and
he's got a little speech to give tomorrow and a flight to catch.
Repack.
Enjoy yourself at the
track, huh?
Enjoy yourself at the hip hop conference.
Yeah, the hip hop conference is ending this weekend, and I have to give that final address tomorrow evening.
Yeah.
Not tomorrow evening, Saturday evening.
Okay.
So I'm leaving tomorrow night to go back to Newark, you know, hopefully. So thank you very much. Only thing I would like to say is all you people who know something about pirate radio, you need to get the pirates all over the joint.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what we need.
Indeed. You know, it's a good thing.
We need 1,000 speeding vans speeding through the town.
I second that one. All right, let's hit some tunes here. Take Amiri home.
Okay.
All right. I'm just going to play that Sun Song again, and then you take it over, okay?
Okay.
You can play whatever you want.